God bless you. I want to try to tell you today the importance of your life. If there's any way that I can make this make sense, and I have prayed and I've asked the men to help me pray for delivery, because as I sat in my office and said, Lord, you know how you do sermons? Some of you don't know how you do sermons. Here's how you do sermons. You look at the calendar and you go, geez, Mother's Day's coming. Lord, I need a Mother's Day, sir. Then you go to the concordance and you look up every verse that has to do with mother. And you just see if anything crawls out at you. But you depend on God. And I'm going to tell you, I was like, oh yeah, this will work good. This will just be light, fluffy, you know, feel good. And man, this thing took a left turn. And I asked the men this morning, pray for the delivery of this message. Because what I just said, I think will come out. So I asked God to give me a sermon for Mother's Day. This title is weird. Good women make good wives. Good wives make good mothers. Good mothers raise good girls to be good women who make good wives. You see, it's never ending. You can't just go on and on forever, so you have to stop somewhere. But good women make good wives, make good mothers. And it's hard to distinguish between a wife and a mother to me because, you know, my wife is the mother of my children. And so that's how I look at it. I've said this morning in Sunday school, and I'm going to try to get in the habit of not saying this, because I say, if you're like me, most men, and I'm finding out most men aren't even like me, I'm weird. But I'm going to say this one and say, in my case, I don't know about you, but I'll see if I get any amens from the women. When I'm sick, I want a mommy as much as I want a wife. How about it, ladies? You got one of those at your house? When that man gets sick and he goes, I don't feel good, I need to lay down, and she's in there going, got the exact same thing and cooking him some soup. Hello. Hello. Look, women all over this place are patting on their husbands and the men are staring at me. Why do you gotta say stuff like that for? Because it's true. See, yeah, there you go. Amen. Yeah. What's point two in this thing anyway? What's point two? I hadn't even got to point one. But I better go on. So see, men, we never lose contact with mom because our wives mother our children, but at times we need them to mother us. Hey, thank God Father's Day's coming. Thank God we get to do this again, and it's paybacks. But let's read this morning, if you have your Bibles, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And we're going to have to break in because it's talking about, you know, men and women here, but we're just going to break into the women part of it. And again, really just talking about women, not necessarily mothers, wives, or anything else, just women. Here we go. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands. So older ladies, you tell the younger ladies, you love your husband. That's what the Bible says for you to do. That's good advice. And to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, that's a word by itself. Just good. Just be good. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Father, Lord, we cannot say enough accolades to properly say thank you to the women in our lives. Lord, this morning I gave my wife a very, very simple card, a very few lines, but they were pointed and they were direct. And they fit so well. So, Lord, without flowery speeches, let us just say thank God for the moms who have made a difference in our lives. Lord, we remember being raised by a godly mother and having a godly grandmother. Father, that's what Paul said to Timothy. And that's what many of us know. Lord, the other reality is some of us don't have that experience. And so maybe there's some young ladies today who are trying to figure this part of it out, being the spiritual mom, when they didn't have that themselves. So, Lord, I don't know what you want to do today in here, but I'm saying have your way, and we're just going to give you permission and praise for being God today in this room. And we thank you for coming on Mother's Day to our church. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I can barely remember it because it was almost 34 years. It'll be 34 years here pretty soon that my very young wife and her very young husband came home with a very young baby in tow. Fortunately, we live next door to Miss Betty. That's a good thing. You know, back then you didn't pay a lot. I think the hospital bill was $600. They don't even let you in the door now for that. And then if you do anything, it's more. But the bill wasn't really that much. But I would have thought back then, for the money we paid, there should have been a phone book size book that says, now that your parents, and just some like troubleshooting things, you know, if it cries all the time, check these things. You know, just basic helps. Where do mothers get their training? That's my question. We didn't get any help. She had her mama next door. Thank God. You just call over there. And her mama would say, well, how's it sound when she cries? And she'd go, might be the colic. I don't know yet to this day what that means. I don't know what that means, but that, you know, she could tell by the kind of crying. I found out now that I'm a grandfather. If I hear a kid, I mean, it sounds like a blood curdling scream to me, but I just watch the women. If they don't react, ain't nothing wrong with that kid. Does anybody want to debate that truth? You heard that. And I go, did y'all hear that? They know what happened by the, you know. Somebody took something from them. That's what that scream means. I said, you can tell that? Oh, yeah. If they're hurt, we know, and we'll be ahead of you. And I'm like, okay. Who tells them that stuff? How do women, you know, I don't want to go too much on intuition here, because that's like it's, you know, just built in. And I think some of it's built in. Man, I just thank God I was born a man. Thank God I was born a man, because I don't have that stuff, man. I hear a kid now, I want to go see what's wrong, and the women just sit there. And if it's not, but phew, they're gone. It's amazing to me. They're somehow trained, and you already know the answer. Experience is the best teacher. That's the answer. You learn, because you know what? In my world, again, when we were young, I worked away from home. I wasn't there to learn to distinguish what those cries meant. And I'm going to tell you, when I was, cry to me, two things. Baby. That's how that one worked. And the other one was, boop, shut up. What else is there to know? I can give you a 3x5 card that tells you everything you need to know. Check the bottom first. Check the top. Give them some bottle. After a little bit, check the bottom again. It will come out. That's all I know. I still don't know really any more about parenting than that. That's still, it's just the way it is. So I'm telling you this morning, if you have a wife, number one, you ought to just smack her on the mouth. I mean, plant one on her. Just go, mwah. And say, thank you, you were born a woman and I was born a man. I owe you for the rest of my life. Just love her for it, because she's the mother. Wow. Now, so look at what Titus is saying now. To the older women, admonish the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Titus, by way of Paul, Titus is a young pastor. I believe he lives at Crete. I think he lives on an island somewhere. What a bummer deal to be a pastor on an island in the Mediterranean. What a deal. But Paul writes him a letter and says, tell the older ladies in the church to help the younger ladies in the church and tell them this. And so that's what we get. It's good advice. It's good advice. It tells them to be good women who make good wives, who make good mothers. That's where the sermon title comes from. The Bible does give good advice. And here's the deal. And I already kind of touched on this. Most of us could probably in our minds come up with an example or two of older women that we would not want giving advice to younger women. I know it's critical to say that, but it's a reality. Some of us know some ladies who just have made choices that the last thing you want them to do is tell a younger woman, here, be like me. Because isn't that what advice is? Advice is saying, be like me. Do what I've done. And so, now, this is the weird thought I had. And again, I'm a man, so y'all don't hate me for this. I'm a man. I'm just thinking analytically a little bit. If we could go back in time, do you suppose we would find where there was some deviation from the original model here? Good women make good wives, make good mothers. If you know somebody who you would not want giving your daughter advice, if we could go back in her life, see, a lot of times, can I tell you what's back there? There's a godly grandma or mama. There's a godly grandma or mama back there. But somewhere, something deviated. And this person says, I'm not listening to that anymore. I'll do what I want to do. And they begin to make choices. I almost believe in almost every single case that we could find the place where that deviation occurred and somebody left the model, good women make good wives, make good mothers. And they raised good girls to be good women and started over again. We urgently need that in the United States of America. We urgently need, and please don't, well, you know what? It's not in my notes. I think I won't say it. Ladies, your daughter doesn't need a friend. I've decided to say it anyway. Ladies, your daughter has plenty of friends on Facebook or Twitter or whatever else. If your daughter's in school, she's got plenty of friends who are influencing her from families that you don't want that influence. And you got to stand strong and once in a while say no. Why? Because I'm your mother. No. Well, what? It is two letters. There's an N, there's an O. Which one of those are you not getting? And they storm off. They might even cry. They may even say, I hate you. I don't like that commercial, by the way. Some woman, she's a doctor now. I'll never forget the day my son Jeremy, probably the reason I don't like the commercial, it's her son Jeremy. I'll never forget the day my 16-year-old son Jeremy told me he hated me. Where was Daddy? Because you know what Daddy should have done? Should have followed Jeremy to his room. And if the door was locked, kick the stinking door down and walk in and explain something to Jeremy. Dad, show up! Here, I got a Mother's Day sermon over here. Our kids don't. They need parents. They need mamas. Desperately, we need mamas. Desperately. That was a rabbit. Only one I'm going to shoot today. One rabbit, he's dead. We're done. Proverbs 31. Just hold that in your thought, though. Just hold in your thought. Because that's where this thing kind of went weird on me. That there's some ladies probably sitting in this room, sitting here loving their children, who say, they don't need to know what I've been through. I cannot tell my daughter, just be like me and you'll be fine. Pastor, I so wish that I could, but I can't say that. Let's go back to Proverbs 31. How many of you know this verse without me reading one word of it? Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, women. That's a ministry today. Proverbs 31, women. But they don't start here. They start later in verse 10. We're going to go to verse 1. Listen to this. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Now this is King Lemuel saying what his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? What, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Wow. That's a mother's advice to her son, the king. Now, I went to Proverbs 31 because I wanted to kind of, I guarantee you Proverbs 31 is going to be read in a lot of churches today. It's Mother's Day. Who can find a virtuous wife? All that stuff. That's Proverbs 31, that part we know. But I wanted to start here. This is sort of strange to me. And in fact, I cannot prove what I'm about to say except reading the Bible, and I want you to think about it. I looked up several commentaries. One of them said, we don't have a clue who King Lemuel is. I'm like, okay, I didn't care for that commentary too much. I don't even know what my study Bible says. I'm going to see what it says real quick. Guess what? Wise words of King Lemuel, who is unknown outside of verse 1. Okay. I'm going to tell you who I think King Lemuel is. All right, y'all ready? His name is Solomon. Solomon, the king of Israel. I looked up Lemuel just thinking I would find something really, really wowzer. And I found something that I liked. The word, it's actually limo, if we were to write it in English, like a stretch limo. It's L-I-M-O and then E-L. Anytime you have E-L in a word in Hebrew, what's in there? What's E-L going to mean? God. Always, E-L is Elohim, it's God. So, limo means belonging to God. And again, say I'm way over here, notice where I'm at. I'm way over here. I'm going to tell you that I believe that when Solomon was growing up, without going into that story yet, that his mother would whisper in his ear and say, you belong to God. Your name, your pet name, your nickname, I'm going to call you Lemuel. Nobody else will know that but me. That's just what I believe. That's other concordance, or not, excuse me, not concordances, but other commentaries say this is Solomon and that it is his mother and things she has told him. Now, why would that be? Why would this mother say the things she's saying? Would you ponder that with me a moment? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law. Okay? 2 Samuel 11. You don't have to turn there. It's not in our notes. I'm walking over here again because I'm about to tell you a story. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12 tell the story of another king, King David. In the spring of the year when kings went out to war, David stayed home. Now I'm going to inject, based on Proverbs 31, what I just read to you, I'm going to inject into this story, and I cannot prove it except reading Proverbs 31 and knowing this story. Why the mother of King Lemuel would say to him, son of my vows, son of my womb, oh my son, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Do not let a woman take you down as king. Why would a woman say that? Why would a woman tell her son that? Unless her name is Bathsheba. Think about it. Are we there? It happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to war, King James, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. They destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Raboth, but David remained at home. And it happened one evening that David rose from his bed and walked on the roof. I want you to picture David pacing on the roof. David is an older man. David has adult children already. David is not a 25-year-old viral warrior anymore. He's getting old, and he can't fight like he used to. He was a warrior. So I want you to picture David on the roof, pacing, wishing, remembering, thinking how many times he had led the charge. And one of his servants comes up and says, oh, king, you need to sleep. You need rest. Word will come in the morning. There are no messengers coming tonight. Drink some wine. It will help you sleep. And David takes his glass of wine and drinks. I'm making this up now. I'm over here. I'm nowhere near that Bible. David takes his glass of wine and drinks it down like a shot. Just pours it down. Sets the glass down and says, fill it again. And he starts pacing. And he's wishing he could be there. He's remembering his younger days. He walks by again. He says, I'm not going to bed yet. You go ahead. Go downstairs. He pours down another one. He says, leave that bottle. I'm inventing this based on what the mother of Lemuel says. It is not for kings. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes intoxicating drink. So David keeps pouring and keeps drinking and keeps pouring. He's trying to drown his sorrows. Can I tell you something about drowning your sorrows? When you come to, your sorrows have not changed. If anything, they're worse. That's what drinking will do for you. Just injecting that into this story. Why would the woman tell her son, don't be the king who drinks? It's not good. David drinks and drinks and drinks, drowning his sorrows because he's older and he can't go to battle. He's pacing the roof, wishing to know how the battle went. They've won one battle. He wasn't there. Now they've sieged another city, and he's waiting to hear. And he walks over to the edge of the roof, puts his hands in frustration, and he looks down, and there's a beautiful younger woman in a pool bathing herself in the back of her house. And David stands there and looks at her, slightly intoxicated. His mind begins to wonder. That should be wander. But he begins to wonder. And he says, In my younger day, I'd have been on my way to kill her husband. She would have come to his aid and saved his life, and I'd have married her. You know that story? That's Abigail. That's how he got his wife, Abigail, because he was going to go kill Abigail's husband, and she brought food for them and said, oh, king, my husband is a fool, but don't kill him. He's the only one I got. Her husband ends up dying in a battle, and David hears about it and goes and says, Abigail's a good woman. If I got to have a woman that's going to fight for me, I want it to be Abigail. Go get Abigail and bring her to me. And he marries her. So there's another wife for David. Now he's standing. I'm making this up, you understand? I'm making this up. David's standing on his roof looking down at a beautiful woman bathing. He can barely just see the outline of her body in the dim lights around her. And he goes and calls one of his servants and he says, who lives in that house? And they said, sir, that's one of your commanders, Uriah the Hittite. Uriah the Hittite. He sided with me, and I put him in high office in my army. But he's at war with Joab. He's not home. Is that his wife? Yes, sir, that would be his wife. Her name's Bathsheba. Bring Bathsheba to my house. And the slightly intoxicated king of Israel staggers and makes his way. Y'all don't like this story? I'm just reading to you out of Proverbs 31 and then going back. What I'm putting out of Proverbs 31, I'm injecting into that story right there. David sent messengers and took her. She came to him and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her. She'd gotten over her period. She returned to her house, and guess what? You know the story. She got pregnant. Sleeping with the king of Israel. Her husband's a valiant warrior. You know the story. We won't keep reading. Yeah. She sent and told him, I am with child. Now this is, if I'm correct, this is Lemuel is Solomon himself, and he's saying that when he got older, his mother gave him this advice. Oh son, be careful of the women you choose to involve yourselves in. You think he listened? He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. The man had 1,000 women. He chose to be more like daddy than mama. Listen carefully, men. I'll give you one more rabbit, okay? One more little rabbit. Our kids get to grow up under the influence of mom and dad, but they'll side with dad a huge percentage of the time. That's just a fact that we know. That is a fact. We know. So when mom's striving to raise her children and be the spiritual influence, they tend to follow dad anyway. And Solomon followed David. Solomon was way more like David than what his mother said. All right, we got to go. So I invent this story, putting those two passages together, that Uriah gets called back from the front because they get messengers. What's going on in the battle? What's going on in the battle? And you know the story so well. David is sitting here in the room with Uriah the Hittite, and he says, well, it's a long journey back, and you're tired. Why don't you go home? He did try. You've got to give David that. He did try. Why don't you go home? Why don't you get a good night's rest? Hey, why don't you take a good hot bath? I know you got a bathtub in the backyard. And tomorrow morning, start out fresh. Go back, tell Joab the plan. So the next morning, David gets up. He's eating breakfast and he's feeling pretty good. Uriah will go home, sleep with his wife, think it's his baby. All's well that ends well. No big deal. Somebody, one of his servants comes in and says, when the guy delivered milk, okay, that's not in there. The servant opens the front door and Uriah is propped up on the front door sleeping. And David has Uriah brought back in and he said, why are you sleeping at my front door? And Uriah, being a man of integrity and honor, said, my king, all of my men are in the field. None of them got to come home and be with their wives. How could I do that? So I slept on the king's stoop. And as soon as you give me the word, I'm back to the battle. And David's sitting there eating breakfast and suddenly he's not hungry. And he walks in and sits at the presidential desk. Don't drink, son. You'll forget the law. See, it's only one that he had to worry about. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But if you drink enough, you forget that little law and you look down and you say, boy, in my younger days, I'd have had that woman. I'd kill her husband and I'd have her as my wife. He had 8, if you didn't know that. David had 8 wives. His son tore him up on that. But he forgot that law about adultery. And now he forgot the law again, only this time he's stone sober. But lies and cheating and messing up causes you to keep messing up. And so he sits there and with the presidential pen at the presidential desk, he writes this note, Joab, lead a charge on the main gate. let Uriah lead the charge and tell the men when they get close, withdraw until he's dead. And he seals it, folds it, seals it with the presidential wax, hands it to Uriah the Hittite, and says, give this to Joab. Could you imagine being Joab, not having a clue any of this has gone on? Uriah the Hittite comes in, hands him the note, and he reads it, and it's Uriah's death certificate. And Uriah is standing there, ready to do whatever his king is asking him to do. And Joab folds it back up and says, get your men, we're leading a charge. And Uriah is killed. And David brings Bathsheba into his home and marries her. That firstborn son is born and dies. He dies. I don't know why. I can tell you in part due to David's sin. I can't tell you why. But I can tell you that after that, she gets pregnant again and she has a son and they name him Solomon. And Solomon, the son of a cheating father and an unfaithful wife. You say, that ain't fair, Pastor. What could she do about it? I'm just telling you, that's the way it worked. And he's going to be the next king. Isn't that crazy? Wow. I will tell you this, if you're saying, well, I don't know. Well, in chapter 13, these two chapters tell that story. Chapter 13 is dealing with his adult children. His adult children. And they're all messed up too because he's got kids by all these different women. They are messed up because they act like their daddy. So while it's Mother's Day, let me tell you, men, don't lay it off on her. Do your job too. Father's Day's coming. Praise God. David forgot the law. He forgot adultery and he forgot that thing called murder. But the preacher came to see him. The preacher came to see him and put that long, phony finger in his face and said, you're the man. And David wrote Psalm 51. I don't have time to do all that, so go home and read Psalm 51 and we're going to do point three. Is there a greater compliment for a woman? Proverbs 31, 25 through 30. Proverbs 31, 25 through 30. Strength and honor. And this is now King Lemuel talking about the woman who has given him this advice. This is now, I believe, Solomon talking about Bathsheba. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. She's older now, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. What greater compliment can we give a woman today? What greater compliment can we say than to say, you know what? It isn't how you start. It's where you end up. Think about that today. You say, but Pastor, that's me you're talking about. That's me. I wasn't even married when I had my first child. How you end up. Go back and tell your daughter, don't do what I did. Don't make that same choice. I almost said man up, but I knew that wasn't going to come out just right. Woman up. Fight like a girl. Get your daughter in the car. Go get you a Sonic drink or come here and get our ice. That seems to happen a lot. Put your daughter in the car and go for a ride. If they don't know, if she don't know that, and you tell her, don't ever tell anybody this, but your dad and I, you weren't born prematurely. Holy cow. People are so either naive or just nice. You weren't premature. Your dad and I had sex, and you came along as a product of that. And I want to tell you, I love your dad, and I love you. I don't want you to do what I've done. Try some honesty there. So that's what she was telling her son. That's what she's, I believe, I'm just telling you what I believe, Proverbs 31, 1 through 5, is Bathsheba telling her son, please don't act like your father. He was so messed up, but I loved him. I loved the guy. He was the king. Good grief. And even when he was old, I'm telling you, he could barely pick a sword up, but he thought he was still a warrior. And in my eyes, he was. That's just what I believe she's telling me. So ladies, if that's you, or if it was your mom, and you're bright enough to figure that out, you know, when you go, that's weird. I was born 5 months after my mom and daddy's marriage anniversary. I must be a miracle. Maybe not. You can't stay there, ladies. You can't stay there. See, I see now this older Bathsheba. Looking back on her life, she knows there were mistakes, and let's just call some of them flat-out sin. She knows. She knows. But God. So once in a while, when you come up against something, you just say those two words right there. But God. Because that changes everything. She knows that in her own life, there were issues. I guarantee you there were women who looked down on her. There were women who gossiped about her. People who gossiped about her. So can I say to a woman today who has a past, who has issues, but God. Can y'all do me, just humor me. I would like for everybody out loud to say, but God. You ready? But God. Now, if you're sitting here right now, and you're feeling like a load setting on your chest because you think, I know there's people in this room that know he's talking about me. No, I'm not. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about anybody. And I'm talking about nobody. So I just want you to say it again. You ready? 1, 2, 3. But God. See, when you inject God, here's what we believe. Now, some of you don't believe this. Some of you do not believe this. But when you inject the blood of Jesus, we say it, my past, my sin, all my unrighteousness is as far as the east is from the west. God cast it into the sea of His forgetfulness to be brought up against me no more. I am clean as the driven snow, Isaiah chapter 1 says. Wash me and I will be clean. Purge me and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, but I can't forget. And other people can't forget. And people look at me and they point at me and I see them talking about me. And I know what they're saying. But God. And it may only be between you and God. But God. Can I say to a woman today who thinks they have nothing to teach? Because see, I started this thing and I told you we'd bring this up later. You and I could name people that we would say, we don't want them teaching our kids. But you know what? Maybe they do have something to say if they have said, but God. If they can go back and say, you know, don't do what I did until you get to the point where I made my way to an altar of prayer. And all those other things I had done just dissolved. And I'm not the person that I used to be. What was that song Francis was singing? Look, Mama, I'm not the boy that I was, but I'm going to turn out all right. Thanks, Mom. Mom, you can do that. You can teach because you do have something to teach. Maybe this morning I'm saying to a woman who has disappointments, maybe you're in your second or third marriage. I know that happens and you know, we hate it. Divorce is a terrible, painful thing. I know that. Maybe you have disappointments and but God. But God. I sat in my office writing this sermon, and I really felt like I heard God say to me, I'm going to extend grace into your church someday. Because there's some women who need to get over some stuff. And I got to tell you, it wasn't much of a discussion, but I really felt like saying, God, I'm not the person to deliver that message, really. I'd just like to do some light and fluffy. I'll read Proverbs 31. I'll say, her children rise up and call her blessed. I ain't got a problem with that verse. But I don't want to bring up that other stuff on Mother's Day. It's hurtful. But God. The greatest of all compliments for a mother, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. And I believe in my heart Bathsheba to be a beautiful woman. But now, older, the beauty is gone. She's now toiled in the home with difficulties, stresses in her life. She's upheld the honor of her husband, the king, and now she wants to pass this information on to her son. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Mothers, wives, women, love the Lord. Teach your children to do the same. Watch over the ways of your household, even if you work. And I hate saying that. Even if you work, your husband desperately needs you to watch over the ways of your household. It's just kind of part of the deal. Today, we rise up and we call you blessed. And we do. It's straight up noon. Can y'all give me 5 minutes? I'm going to have Rosemary come and play something. I wasn't going to do this. I told my wife, we're going to get done in good time today. But you know what? I just remembered when I said the words. They're nowhere in my notes. God told me, I really feel like God said, I'm going to extend grace into your church Sunday morning. A grace to some women who don't think they can have it, don't think they deserve it. Some may not have walked in here thinking you want it. But I got to ask you today, ladies, what kind of mom are you going to be to your daughters? What kind of grandmother are you going to be to your granddaughters? They don't need a buddy. They need a parent. They need a mom. And we need our grandmothers so much, older women, to inject, to admonish to the younger women. So let me, if I could, have everyone stand. We're not going to take long at this. But I want to ask today...